Good morning, Vine Grove Baptist Church. It is good to be in the house of the Lord today. It is good to see you, Brother Webster. I'm glad you're here today working that camera. It is always good to worship together. It is always good to be together when we worship. God is good all the time, and all time God is good. Amen. His mercy endures forever. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you and we thank you that we can gather once again in your presence, no matter where we're located, because we're of one heart and one mind to worship you today, Father. Lord, let our words be full of grace. And Father, may our hearts be full of worship and love and gratitude for you, Father. All these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Wendy?
Good morning, everyone. I hope you're having a great Sunday. I will be reading the Word of God from a Psalm of David. When I call, answer me, my righteous God. When I was in distress, you set me free. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. Many are asking, who will help us to see better days? Lord, may the light of your favor shine upon us. You have given me joy in my heart that at harvest times when grain and wine abound, I fall asleep in peace the moment I lie down beside you alone, O Lord. Enable me to live securely.
There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than clouds in any earthly sky. For Jesus is my light. Oh, the sunshine, blessed sunshine, while the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is music in my soul today, a carol to my King. And Jesus listening can hear the song I cannot sing. All is sunshine, blessed sunshine, while the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is gladness in my soul today, and hope and praise and love for blessings which he gives me now, for joys laid up above. Oh, sunshine, blessed sunshine, while the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. Hope that put a smile on your face, church. Follow.
Good morning, everyone. Today, I have a reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ, shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
You know, it's only Christians that can say with confidence, it is well with my soul no matter what the circumstances are. It is only Christians that have the Holy Spirit of God living in them. And it is only Christians that can truly say, God, you've got me. I trust you with all my heart. I love you, Lord. As we sing, it is well with my soul this morning, please, as you listen in, I encourage you to sing along with us, because I know that for all of you out there, it is well with your souls.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whenever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul.
It is well.
Assurance control.
folks, so good to be back in the house of the Lord. And I want you to be considering that statement I just made. So good to be back in the house of the Lord. Because on May the 31st at 11 a.m., the doors of Van Grove Baptist Church will be wide open. I guarantee you, right at the front of our church, come up the big steps, and we will escort you right on into the church, and we will sit and we will have a worship time together. I know this coronavirus had been hard on everyone, and I know that it's taken its toll on so many individuals. I know there are a lot of families that are hurting, a lot that have lost paychecks, a lot that are actually in fear of losing their home. What's the answer? Well, I know that it might sound trite to you, but I guarantee you this isn't. The answer is God. The answer has always been in His hands. Everything that you have, all that you own, is a direct gift from God. He blessed you with it, and He'll do it again. That's God's blessings for each one of us. I pray that you will be prepared and you will keep praying for our church on our church opening. This is in-person services on May the 31st at 11 a.m. Then I am setting aside also Wednesday services at 12 noon right here in the sanctuary again. I need all the space I can get right here in the sanctuary. And I will be preaching and teaching another message on Wednesdays at 12 o'clock. So for those of you who feel uncomfortable because of your age, you know, I'm writing this stuff up. I told Joy Chitwood a while ago, I'm writing all this stuff up. I'm thinking to myself right in the middle of writing it, wait a minute, you are that age. So I'm trying to sort of up the age, but I didn't. But be careful, watch one another, be respectful, use, here it comes, common sense. Please, basic common sense. And if you know that you're going around someone who is not feeling well, for one thing, you don't have any business around them unless you're needed there. But if you are down, if you are not feeling well, please do not come. Join us again by way of our electronics. I mean, God gave us all this stuff for a reason. So to use it, and let's get together. You'll be hearing more from me. You'll be getting a letter from me, members, about guidelines and all of that when you come. So I'm working up that up now. Now, Julie, I know good and well that you went to visit Heather this weekend, and I know you all are watching this morning, and I pray that God's guidance will be on you as you travel back and forth. But I got news for you, Miss Julie. It's going to take longer than a weekend for you to get Miss Heather all straightened out. I love you kids, and I appreciate it when I get to see both of you again. This morning during our time of prayer, I do want you to remember my main sisters, which is Wendy Chitwood and Elaine Richardson, as they continue to give care for their mom and dad. And I know that Elaine is the primary caregiver there. But folks, they need prayer. I'll tell you that. Norman and Patricia McCoy, God bless you, Brother Norm, Miss Patricia. I hope and pray that things are going well. I appreciate your prayer. I appreciate your concern for me while I was going through this surgery. Miss Lovell Cottrell, I know you have been praying for me. She's had prayer with me a couple of times on the phone. I call her to have prayer. Then she has prayer for me, and I like that. That was a blessing. Thank you, Miss Lovell. Claude and Marion Kidder. Miss Marion, you take care of your man. Claude, pay attention to what your wife says. But Joe Mansanko. Brother Joe, God love you. I'd love to see you back in church when things are right. And take care of your health, my friends. I encourage you to do that. Mitch and Phyllis Mitchell. Miss Phyllis, you take care of Mitch. And Mitch, you pay attention to Miss Phyllis. And it didn't do me a bit of good to make that comment. I can tell you right now. I love you. Your pastor loves you. Danny Griffith, God love you, son. We'll have these doors open. May the 31st, I hope to be able to see. I'm going to put your picture, son, along with others. I'm going to be putting your all's pictures on a pew back here. So that's a good hint of where you're going to be sitting for that time. Now, it might not be exactly the pew that you're used to, because we're going to have to social distance a little bit. And a couple of the pews are going to be blocked off or no one sitting there. But Danny, you hang in there, son. I know it's been hard on you shut in all of this time also. As we continue knowing that God is in control, He has not lost any kind of control, folks. Pay attention. Listen to His touch on your life. Listen to His call to your life. And follow Him in all that you do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You, Heavenly Father, for the blessings, the joy of salvation, for Your love and for the life that You have given us. Father, You have watched over us so much. You have given us so much. Help each of us now, Father, to give back. Help us, Father, as we reach out to those who are downtrodden, those who are truly hurting. Give us courage and boldness, Heavenly Father. Because that's the way You want us to be, courageous and bold in all that we do. We are Your children. You are our God. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead God and direct us. Be with these we've listed to You, Father. Let Your protection surround them. Let Your power, Your healing hand, do Your touch. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You know, through this time of devastation in the world, so often we get our heads down and we think, well, there's just nothing good going on. In the Bible, God tells us over and over and over, fear not. Don't be afraid, for I'm with you. And if I'm with you, what do you have to be afraid of? You know, King David, whenever he was being hunted by Saul and Saul was seeking to kill him, he was hiding in caves, and he wrote this psalm. We call it Psalm 23, and it begins, "Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil." The Apostle Paul was in prison, and he wrote a letter to the Philippians, and in that letter, he says, "Count it pure joy, my brothers, when every type of trial and tribulation comes your way." And that letter is just full of joy and full of encouragement. How can two individuals that have everything to lose, everything going against them, be so joyful and be so upbeat? It's because they have the Lord on their side. And even though things get looking dark, you have the Lord on your side. And all the time, God says, "I have you. You're mine. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." So let's give Him glory and praise today in our worship service. I woke up this morning with happiness inside. Then I was reminded God is good all the time.
I'm thankful, so thankful, for the blood that showed on the cross on a hill where He paid for every sin. He's faithful, and I'm grateful for the life that He gave so that I could be saved and live forever with Him. Even in a valley I can say, Lord, oh, I'm thankful.
Mercy, hope, and favor, amazing grace and love given by find my Savior shining down from above.
I'm thankful, so thankful for the love that He gave on the cross on the hill where He paid for every sin. He's faithful, and I'm grateful for the life that He gave so that I can be saved and live forever with Him. Even in a valley, I can say, Lord, oh, I'm thankful.
Even on my worst days, I will lift my voice.
I have every reason to rejoice.
Oh, I'm thankful,
so thankful for the love that He showed on a cross on a hill where He paid for every sin. He's faithful, and I'm grateful for the life that He gave so that I could be saved and live forever with Him.
Oh, I'm thankful,
so thankful for the love that He showed on a cross on a hill where He paid for every sin. He's faithful, and I'm grateful for the life that He gave so that I could be saved and live forever with Him. Thankful. So thankful for the love that He showed on a cross on a hill where He paid for every sin. He's faithful and I'm grateful for the life that He gave so that I could be saved and live forever with Him. Even in the valley I can say, Lord, oh, I'm thankful.
Thank you, folks. Gosh, I appreciate that. As God continues to touch us, let me remind you of something. That special touch that God has given you is a gift showing you that He loves you. Is it singing? Is it speaking? Is it preaching? Is it teaching? What is it? Is it driving a vehicle? Is it just you being you? Oh, God loves it when it's just you being you. Because you see, that's why God created you the way that He did. He did not create you the way that He's created you and then want to redirect you to be someone else. You are you. Be you. Be the one God called to do whatever you're doing. This morning, I'm going to speak on my cough and all. Let me tell you, that has to do. I remind you again, a little over a week ago, I had a kidney removed from a kidney cancer, and I am a little slow this time, getting back into the swing of things. But I don't swing as high as I did before the surgery. But I encourage you to keep your pastor in prayer. Godly integrity. Integrity means solid, complete. Now, in the Old Testament, it meant, and when it was used, it dealt with without blemish, perfection, sincerity, and wholeness. Well, there was one problem with that. That's the meaning of it. But there was no one in existence that was without blemish, perfect, sincere, and whole. What was going on? Throughout the whole Old Testament focus as we look at, we see God trying to get across His point to us, His people. You cannot do this on your own. You're going to need me. You need me right now. But I will bring up and raise up some personalities for you to look at. Abraham, Moses, all the great prophets during the era. I will bring them up and let you see what I'm working towards. But not one of them possessed all of the godly traits for integrity. There was always a flaw. As long as you're a human being, there's always going to be a flaw. You're going to find flaws in your life. Well, you're going to find flaws in what you look at. Flaws in the way you think. I know if you don't find flaws in the way you think, just ask those closest to you. They'll let you know and point out those flaws. I guarantee you. But this was an exciting time because we were talking about God growing His people. Before the beginning of time, God knew us. And God had set in order, this is the way that it's going to work. And when God sets in order and this is, says this is the way it's going to work, that's the way that it's going to work. Well, there was this guy by the name of Job. Now, Job, according to Scripture, and he was, certainly was not an Israelite. Job was a Gentile. And Job had a problem. His problem was, with all around him, his ultimate love and respect for God. God referred to him as a, if you paid attention to my servant Job, that he is a righteous man. And he despises evil and wants to do nothing but good. God was talking to Satan because Satan didn't care much for Job. Satan did not care much for any of God's created human beings. So Satan decides that he is going to just show God that this man Job was not such a righteous individual. To be righteous means you're wanting to do what is right. For Job, it was, I want to do what God tells me to do. For Christians, I want to do what Jesus tells me to do. I want to do what God says for me to do. That's being righteous. That's having a righteous spirit. Now, do you always walk in that? Or you try? Do you ever notice that as soon as you think you got it, it's when you mess up? But God looks to the heart of the desire of the heart. And Job was plenty righteous. Yeah, well, I got news for you. God, you let all these bad things happen to your servant Job, all the way to the point of touching him physically, and he'll curse you. Well, now, I want you all to remember something on the story of Job. Satan says this to him, to God. You touch him. He's saying this to God. Don't tell God what you think he ought to do, especially if you're Satan and you're cocky. You do this to him. You take away his wealth. And God says, Satan, I will allow you to do these things to Job. God did not bring evil on Job any more than God sent the coronavirus to straighten people out. God allows that evil that is there, that sickness. He allows it, but only for a time. Because you see, God loves us. And the one you love, do you wish evil on that one you love? Do you wish that one you love to be hurt in any way? then how would you think that God would want that? God says, I will let you, Satan, run your course. There's something about running a course. Paul spoke of it. But Satan, you're going to run out. Your course is going to come to an end. But you go ahead. Do what you will. But you have no authority to take his life. God's the owner of life. God's the owner of your life. And God says, I want you to stand with integrity. I want you to be complete, knowing I have you. I'm watching. I see the viruses. I see the evil. I see the hurt. I see the pain. I see all that is coming against you. And I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm waiting for you. Look to me. I will give you rest. I will bring you peace. I will lift you up. I will heal you physically, and I will heal your land. That's the God I serve. That's the God who created me. That's the God who knows my name. Woo, God knows my name. He knows my name. Jesus let him know. I'm a brother. You're a sister. You're a part of the family of God, Christian. Well, Job went through a hideous period of torture. Now, the theologians tell me in studying Job that he had a flesh-eating virus. And he was in horrible torment. It's called balls from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head in Scripture. But you know, the more these guys and gals study, the more they think that they probably know what it was. And the more I am so happy that God reveals himself to us spiritually, one-on-one, and I do not have to trust their knowledge and their wisdom. But Job, in all of this mystery, his friends came. This is a good lesson for you. Everybody, good lesson for you. His friends came, and they were true friends. And they didn't recognize him, the Scripture says. They did not recognize their best friend. They come, and you know what they do? They're silent for one solid week. All they did was come and sit with him. For one solid week, they kept their mouth shut. That's what you need to do. Don't be going telling people that you know God's will for their life, because you don't. That's a gift that God will give that individual. What you do let them know is, I'm your friend. I'm going to sit right over here. You need me, let me know. If I look at you and I see you're in pain, I'm going to move over to do something to help you. But be silent. Be silent. Don't be giving them the comments of, I can tell you why this is happening to you, because you don't know. Be a friend. Be there. And just be silent. So Job had endured all of this. Until his beloved wife, I'm sure she did love him, but here he was, the most wealthiest human being on planet Earth at this time. 10 children, all of them wealthy. You know what he did for his kids? And once a year they would all get together and have a celebration of their wealth and all the other stuff. They got together And Job was such a righteous individual. He loved God so much and knew that God had passed down his do's and don'ts. So Job would offer 10 burnt offerings at the end of their weekly fling in their party life, for fear that they had, through their ignorance, his children, your children get ignorant sometimes. Through their ignorance, they may have sinned directly against God, and he offered burnt offerings on their behalf. It's called intercessory prayer for us today. But in the Old Testament, being without blemish, perfection, and sincerity and wholeness, you could see Job was coming pretty close to it. But he didn't quite make it. And his wife looked at him, once a powerful man, certainly energetic with all the wealth that he had, and animals and all. And she's looking at him in this heap of ashes. And he's got an old piece of clay pot that had broken. And he's in such agony, he's scraping his body just to get any kind of relief from the pain of this skin disorder, of the boils, of the illness. So his wife in Job 2:9 said to him, now listen to this, I think it's quite interesting. Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. Curse God and die. That means when you let loose of integrity, you're cursing God and ready to die. Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. Part of looking at you, Job. You're puny looking. You're odious because of the oozing sores on you. I see no hope for you. Oh, husband, I love you, but it's time you just died and got out of the way. Then God intervened. God didn't say it. Now, Satan, can I take it over again? Oh, no, 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 no. God intervened. God restored Job's health. God gave him twice the wealth he had ever had. God had even restored to him 10 more children. That'll teach his wife to act like that. I'm sorry. It's the pain, I'm sure. I can picture my wife at home watching this, saying, oh no, I should have known that. I love you folks, but I want you to know the truth. And God restored, well, wait a minute, but he gave him back double everything else. Why not double the kids? The kids were with God the Father, waiting for the dad to come on home. That first 10, they're still around. I want you to take heart in that. You see, you and I will always be together, Christian. There will only be the slow time period between the time that I leave planet Earth and you leave planet Earth. But you'll have your memory. You'll have good memories, bad memories. I'll have good memories, bad memories. But I will have a little bit of you. You will have a little bit of me. God bless you in that mind of yours. In the New Testament, here's what integrity meant. It focused on honesty and adherence to a pattern of good works. That's integrity. Honesty and adherence to a pattern of good works. What changed? Jesus. changed. Jesus comes in, the only one with ultimate integrity. Jesus conquered the integrity factor. And when I accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life, I am instilled with the integrity of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High God. And He says, my integrity is in you now. When you walk, walk with me and project my voice. Tell them what I tell you to tell them. Not something you think or the way you wished it was. You and I must deal with real life. We must pay attention to what's really going on. And what's really going on is not unusual from what has taken place throughout history. Our God is the same. His love is as powerful. His healing hand is as available. And His gracious integrity to give to us is still amazing. And Jesus demonstrated integrity. Listen to Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Tempted in every way, just as we are. That means Jesus was tempted with the temptations of all who would ever exist. Whew. And He conquered them. He conquered them. Because Jesus is perfect. And in His perfection, He perfectly loves you and He perfectly loves me. And in that perfect love that He has given to us, He gives us power. Power to make a difference in our little world. In the people that we're surrounded with. And those we love. He's put us in a position for a purpose. His purpose. His call. His love. It's His Father. And it's His home that I get to go to. And He's got a spot for me. Yep. Yep. You think that it's exciting getting to be with your loved ones now? You wait till it's supper time in heaven. You want to see joy? You want to see excitement? Brother Randy, you want to hear some real shouting? That's when you will hear it. That's the exciting part of being in the integrity of who Jesus is. Not pretending like that we are so perfect. Because no, you're not. Your pastor loves you, but you're not that good. Jesus said, I want you now to take what I have demonstrated for you, and I am going to allow you to inherit it. I inherited from my Savior His integrity. He gave it to me for a reason. What was that reason? Jesus says, I want you to take what I've given you. Now listen to Ephesians 1, 4 and 5. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy, blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and His will. And He said, I've given you a book. Read it. See what I've done? I'll do it again. Watch. Look. Listen. You want to see my power? I'll do it again. You want to hear my voice? You'll hear it again. For I am your God. And my God has never ever failed me. Brother Randy.
Faithfulness, I'm still in your.
Thank you, folks. Appreciate it. Okay. Godly integrity. You've heard about it. You watch Job getting challenged because of it. Jesus demonstrated it for us so we would see how it works. And he allowed us to inherit his integrity, because ours was shot. As a Christian, you have the integrity of Christ. All right, now, I got it. I've heard it. I've witnessed it. What do I do with it? His command to us is to go do. Integrity. You do integrity. It's not just a word that you say. It is an action that you do. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Not work out how to get saved. Not work out who your salvation is. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I'm saved. Now I need to work it out. That salvation inside of me, I need to work it out of me. And I need to project with integrity to all those that I come in contact with how they too can be saved with fear and trembling. When you know that Christ has given you a message, Brother Randy will attest to this, any other preacher will, that message that God gives you is for a purpose, for a certain period of time, or for a particular time. And God said, now I want you to go and I want you to preach it. I command you to do it. You got it in your heart? Then you must preach it. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. God says, it is my will that you do good. It is my will that you feel good. It is my purpose in life to love you. And when you're through with your journey on earth, your ministry on earth, come on home to me. I will give you rest. I will let you see your new home. Won't do any God any good to try to explain to us how great it is. because our minds cannot handle it. There are no words to describe the beauty. But what's most important, I got a Savior. I got a Savior in glory land that outshines the sun. I got a home in glory land that the sun set aside for me. And fellow Christians, I get to be with you throughout eternity. Yes, we'll know each other. Yeah. When you talk about, well, what about the love? What about the love? The love that you will have, we will have for one another, supersedes anything that you can imagine here. So it can't be explained. It's just greater. My Lord is greater. And it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we lift our heart to you, Lord. I know, dear Lord God, that it is through your love and your grace and through the hope that we have in you that we will ever find peace within our own life. Give us strength now, I pray. Give us direction for the hour, for the day. Give us the love we're going to need to share with others. I pray, Father, that as you touch our lives, that special touch that only you can give us, dear Lord God, is a touch we will never forget as we share it with integrity. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Pray, folks. Wash your hands. Plead the blood. And I hope to see you next Sunday.